Good morning, church. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you. My wife and I are here with members of our youth group, the ones that could make the long 80-mile journey from South Kentucky to Spring Hill or Tennessee, and we're glad to be here. I have known Jerry and Pam and Dale and Melanie for years. I count them as good friends, as constant sources of encouragement and of just good people to be around. And this is our first visit to Spring Meadows. We've heard many great and wonderful things about the body here, and we're glad to be here. Indeed, I count it an honor to stand before you today. And they gave me a clicker, so I get to actually run the show too. It's Dale's clicker, they said, because he doesn't like the big bulky one. All right. Oh, look at there. The Greatest Generation. Do what? What happened here? What are we going to do? Okay, the lesson's over as we stand and sing. Any questions? Dale said to cut it short. Well, I just hit it once. Is the battery low? I'll try it again. The Greatest Generation. I am a student of history. I love history and all of its facets. And I am amazed at our country and the history that not too long ago was the way we were. Far gone are those days, unfortunately, but the Greatest Generation and many in here know well of what I speak because you were part of it firsthand. To the young people, the Greatest Generation was that in the 1940s. Part of what made them great, or what the label given to them, part of this, is because of a little incident called World War II. And at World War II, man, there it goes again. Let me have the other one there. World War II, we entered the war June 6th, 1944. The lead-up to that entrance, thank you, sir. Green means go. This one's got more buttons than that one. Okay, I got it. Jerry's just... It's like this is like a bomb timer or something like that. The lead-up to June 6, 1944 started the end of May and in June 1943. And what happened was that we, America and our allies, gathered together and formed and executed the greatest, the grandest military exercise in the history of mankind. In one short year, our country, England, the Allies, geared up for this battle, for this war. To me, I find it amazing that it took a year to plan the exercise, for us to get into that. Well, in that time, in that year, and then once the effort started, every person, every family, every individual in our country had skin in the game. Every family. Now, we have soldiers and sailors and airmen that are overseas right now. Our two sons just got out of the Army. They were both in Afghanistan at the same time. So, though we have that exercise going on now, somehow we've kind of lost track, because unless you really are involved or you have a family member, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a dad, a grandpa, a brother, somebody over there, we're not really pushed as a country to kind of get behind the effort. Contrary to that, in World War II, every person in this room would have been affected by the leading up to and the support of the war effort. Every person had skin in the game. In different ways, we were asked to buy war bonds. Well, mine's gone blank, so y'all just read the notes for yourself. I'll just sit up here in the chair. Dale, I didn't mean to tear up your system while I was here visiting. We were asked to buy war bonds. Tires. Rubber was not readily available for consumers because we needed it for the effort. So tires were in short supply. You couldn't just go out willy-nilly and buy a set of tires. You had to recycle the ones, and then you had to get some stuff. We had ration books where everyone was rationed in their food, in their consumption of food, because we needed to be able to send food to the troops. Canned food drives. There were iron, metal, steel drives. Newspapers were recycled for the effort. The food being limited, your family was limited to 2 pounds of sugar a month. Now, in the South, when sweet tea reigns, that becomes an issue. You know, and my wife makes some of the sweetest tea that if we run out of pancake syrup, we can pour the tea on the pancakes. It's okay. But in the war effort, you could only get 2 pounds of sugar a month. You're giving me a thumbs up, so does that mean I get to control it? Okay. Scrap metal, everything was in a war effort. So therefore, not only, even if you didn't have somebody overseas in the battle, your family was affected here. And we did it with pride. We did it because it was the right thing to do. We did it because it was for our country. We did it for freedom. We did it for us. We did it for a greater cause than Brian individually. Oh, and how now, 70 years later, everything's all about me and forget everything else. Here's what we have to face today. You and I are facing a far more critical and important battle than any war that has ever been waged physically on this planet. You and I are engaged in a battle for eternity. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is the battle that you and I and our families are engaged in today. Now, if we take the World War II effort, the concept that everybody was involved, that it was something for the greater good, and we now apply it to this battle, there's something that we can do. There's something that you can do. There's something that I can do, and that's what it's all about. Older people understand the reference to Rosie the Riveter on the screen. Young people, you may not understand this, but when all the guys were in the factories building stuff, a lot of them were called up to service in the Army, in the Navy. They had to go. So there was a shortage of workers here in the country. So women stepped up and started making the planes. Women went to the factories. They started doing the stuff. That's the symbol of what that's all about. That's who this girl is. I thought Jerry said he was going to dress like this today. Thank goodness he didn't. Everyone did. So here's the deal. Here's my point. We're facing this bigger battle, greater than any army that could be amassed on this earth. do we all have skin in the game? Am I sacrificing for the greater good? Am I doing it because it's the right thing to do? Am I looking out for the greater of the kingdom? Everyone needs to be engaged in the effort. Today's part of this three-part lesson that I'm doing today is you can. It's you can, and then I'm doing I can, and then I'm doing we can. So if you're here this evening, that's what the prelude's going to be there. But this is what you can do. Remember the war effort. Uncle Sam wants you. Now that was the recruiting poster, but Uncle Sam needed you to be part of the game. You had no choice. But we did it willingly. What about the kingdom of God? I want to be a worker for the Lord. I'm in the Lord's army. All those songs that we sing, are we engaged with the process? There were no small deeds that were done. Does that go back? Okay, I hit the wrong button. Because whether you're engaged or not, and hopefully you are, all of us at some point are going to stand to give account for what we did or didn't do. See, in World War II, I knew that your family wasn't getting no more than 2 pounds of sugar a month, and mine wasn't either. We were on the same page. What are we doing to give account of the kingdom? We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to be there on bended knee, and we're going to have to explain, this is what I did, this is what I didn't do. And I do not want anybody to ever have to be there in the presence of God Almighty and say, I wasn't really that engaged. I think one of the saddest songs that we sing in the church is You Never Mentioned Him to Me. Can you imagine standing there at the pearly gates and a person next to you says, why didn't you tell me about God? And in today's technology, with all the stuff that we have available to us today, every single one of us can do something. My mother-in-law had just passed away a few months ago, and she could tell you that she couldn't get out and go visit like she needed to, but she wrote cards like there was no tomorrow. I got a card from your mother-in-law today. Carol was always being told, oh, your mother sent me a card. Oh, your mother dropped a pie off at the house. Even a card goes such a long way today. And every person in here, I don't care how old you are, I do not care what you're saying, you can send a card to somebody. So there's no reason to not be engaged. So I'm expecting the post office in Spring Hill tomorrow to be inundated with cards. That's the least we can do, but the problem is, we all have something to do, and there are no small deeds. No good deed goes unnoticed. God knows what your heart is. It's not about just, I'm sending 40 cards today in the mail. Look at me. It's just you and God knowing that you sent 40 cards in the mail today. I went and visited somebody. I helped someone with a meal. I helped someone when they were thirsty, when they were hungry. Oh, we got those, that family needs some clothes. Let's get together some clothes for that family and let's go do that. We all can do something, but most importantly, whatever we do, God gets the glory. Because it's not about Brian, it's not about Dale, it's not about Jerry. It's about God getting the glory. I want to do those things because of my love for God, but it's something we all can do. The parable of the talents. A certain master had servants. He was going away for a long journey. And he gave to the first one 5 talents. He gave to the second one 2 talents. He gave to the third 1 talent. After a long time, the Bible tells us, he returned so that each servant could give account of what it was that he did with the talents. To the 5-talent man, he said, well, what happened? And he says, you gave me 5 talents, and I have worked, and I've done my thing, and I am returning to you your 5 plus 5. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then the next one, he says, well, I gave you 2. What'd you do? He says, I gave 2. I worked, and I did it, and I doubled your money. Here's 2. I'm going to give you 2 back, and here's 2 more. Well done. Very good. Third one, hey, I gave you 1. Well, let me go dig it up. Because what he did was he didn't do anything. He just went and dug a hole. The Bible tells us he buried that talent. And then he just said, when the master comes by, I'm going to know right where it's at, and I can give him back what he did. And you know, some of the words that I can't even imagine this being said, is that in verse 26, when he gave him that, I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's your talent. And in verse 26, it says, you wicked and lazy servant. What talent has God given you? Are you using it? Because can you imagine standing at the judgment seat of God and hearing, you lazy servant? Wow. I don't want to be that person. Can you imagine this guy standing there, the other guy says, hey, here's your 5 and an extra 5. Here's your 2 and an extra 2. And the guy thinking, I only got 1. This is not going to go well. Here's your 1, you wicked and lazy servant. So there is no small deed. It's just a measure of our talent. And every person in this room has an ability. Every person in this room has a talent to go out and do something great for the Lord. You can do it. And if nothing else from this lesson, we walk away from here today knowing that tomorrow I am going to go out and you are going to make a difference in the life of a person. It is going to be amazing what we can do together for the kingdom of God. So it goes on. Every one of us, as is the parable, had different talents. The one had 5 and he could do something with that. The one had 2. You and I have different abilities. We have different things that we can do, but they're all important. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse number 12, it says, for as the body is one, and as many members, but all are members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you were all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, behold, I'm not a hand, and am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, no, no. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable are those that we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given great honor to the part which lacks it. Every part has a purpose. God has put you where He needs you for a purpose. I'm not an eye. I'm not a foot. I'm not a hand. I'm not the head. But maybe you're the foot, and maybe I'm the ear. And maybe you're the eye, and maybe you're the head. But that's okay. We all have a part to play, just as God has composed the body of Christ, the church. And He has put you where He needs you for a specific purpose. Every one of us, whatever we do for the cause of Christ, is important. You know, the media gives the Church of Christ a bad rap because y'all the ones that don't think women need to do anything. I'm here to tell you that if it wasn't for the women, there wouldn't be no Church of Christ, because a lot of what gets done is what you ladies do. You don't want me baking a pie and taking it to somebody. You don't want me doing some of the stuff that you all do. But vice versa, you might not be able to do what I can do. That's what God's saying in this verse. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have roles to play. And we create this beautiful body that the Lord has made. Continuing in Matthew 25, right after, I think this is really neat the way God did this. Right after the parable of the talents comes the story when all are standing before the judgment seat of God. And you know where I'm going with this, because then they say, well done, because when I was hungry, You gave me food. When I was thirsty, You gave me drink. When I was lonely, You took me in. When I was naked, You clothed me. When I was sick or I was in prison, You visited me. And then the others are going to say, but Lord, when did we see You hungry? Or when did we see You thirsty? When did we see You naked? When? I don't understand. And He says, when You do this to the least of these, You did it to me. Now, there is no one, absolutely no one in this audience that cannot do one of those five things. So you can. And the Lord's counting on you. It is your responsibility to do it. It's not the person sitting to the left of you. It's not the person sitting to the right of you. It's your responsibility. Now, I know great things happen from this congregation. I know that you all are involved in great mission works and all kinds of great things. I'm not here to disparage. I'm just saying this is a rally cry. This is for every one of us to get skin in the game. This is a rally cry now that when we go out and I say I am a Christian, when I say I am in the Lord's army, I am a soldier fighting for that greater cause. Just because the infantryman isn't riding in a tank doesn't make him less effective in that war. They both have roles to play. Just because there's people that jump out of perfectly good airplanes, they're no more important than the guy that's coming in on a horse. Every one of us is in the fight. And let me tell you, especially since I deal with young people, all the young people that are here, I love that you're sitting together, all the young people that have a cell phone, hold it up right now? And they, that's a dumb question. All right. We got more technology in these first four rows than all of humankind has ever known. Do you realize that? In their hands, they are holding the sum of all knowledge. Everything that has ever been known to man is in the palm of their hand. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. You want to talk about a fight that we're in? No, hold your phones up. We're not done. This goes on about an hour. Parents, grandparents, the devil's in your home. Don't tell me we're not fighting a fight. See, before it was kind of nefarious where you can put him down now. He's got his arm resting on Dad's shoulder. It was kind of nefarious and kind of sneaky how Satan got into the house. And now we're just handing it over to him. And that temptation is there. We're fighting a battle. We're fighting a big battle. And every one of us needs to be part of it. One person, you, can make a difference. I would encourage you, as time does not permit right now, but I would encourage you to look up an essay called One Solitary Man. It is one of my favorite readings. Last night when we were in the hotel room, the guys that were in my room, I said, have y'all ever heard this before? And I read it to them. And I said, that's the power of one man. You can make a difference. Young people, you can make a difference. Folks, there's people when you go to work tomorrow that are working beside you that are dealing with stuff. You can be the person that makes a difference in their life. Young people, when you go to school, the person sitting next to you in English or math class, they're dealing with something. You might be the person that makes a difference. Retirees that are sitting at home, I think that we all know that you can get out during the day and go and make a visit and just brighten someone's day. Send that card. Bake the pie. We had these little cards printed at Franklin, the business cards. And it says, this kind deed was done to glorify God by a member of the Franklin Church of Christ. Had our service times on it and a phone number and a web address. And what we have told our members, we hand them out. There's a pile of them that you can get your hands on. We keep them in the car that if you're going through McDonald's or Starbucks or something like that, and we pay for the car behind us. And you give the cashier the little card and just say, just give them that card. And off you go. Do you know how many times people have emailed us, sent us a note that said, I was having a terrible day. I was having a bad day. And then I got that. Thank you. You made a difference in my day. And if we make differences every day, and we do it for the cause of Christ, wow, what a difference we could make over a year. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Don't think you can't do anything. Because if you're doing it for God, as we talked about in 1 Corinthians, if you're part of the body and you're doing your function, Jesus is going to provide you with the strength. Jesus is going to provide a way for you to do it. Years ago, there was a missionary, Loy Mitchell. Maybe many of you in here know Loy. He was at the West Dyersburg congregation where I started in youth ministry. And as you know, Loy did a lot of work in Zimbabwe. And he had tales to tell, him being, you know, in jail and stuff in Zimbabwe for his work. And I thought this was really neat. When I thought about this right here, Loy came to me one time. He said, Brian, he said, I'd like you to go to Africa with me. And I said, one of these days I'd like to go to Africa with you. I just think that would be, I want to see that firsthand. Brian, when are you going to sign up and go to Africa with me? And I said, okay. Finally, it got to a point where I could have gone to Africa. And I told Loy, Loy came to me, he said, Brian, you want to go to Africa with me? Loy, I can go. And I said, how much is it going to cost? He said, that's not our problem. The problem was you saying, I can go. Because once you said, I can go, God's already got the wheels rolling. How much it cost is immaterial. And I thought, he said, I don't care if we have 50 people that want to go. God says, I'm going to provide for it. And I love that faith. Unfortunately, Loy became sick and I was never able to make that trip to Africa with him. But I always thought about this verse and this one. What then shall we say? That if God is for us, who can be against us? Whenever they were picking teams for dodgeball in high school, and I don't know if y'all even get to play dodgeball anymore, which is a crying shame. It's gone the way of lawn darts. Y'all remember them things? They were just awesome. Now, that taught you reflexes. Y'all know what I'm saying. Kids, you have no clue. They would give us chunks of lead steel to throw at each other, and they look like giant darts, and you just toss them in the air, and you're just like, where'd it go? When I think about these things, I was always chosen last for dodgeball. I wasn't what they call the most athletic person that there was. But I thought about this, that if God can be for me, you know what? Young people, and everybody here, we're going to choose up teams today. Now, let me tell you the parameters of this game. On Team A, we need anybody that wants to be on this side, and you're going to lose. Team B, you're all going to be over here, and Team B is guaranteed to win. How many people are going to rush to this side of the auditorium? Well, let me tell you something. I don't know if you've read the whole book, but I've read the Cliff Notes. In the end of the 66 that God's put together, he wins. And I want to be on that team. But if I'm going to be on that team, I need to be a player on the team. I need to be engaged with the team. I need to be active with the team because I know that there is a victory coming to us. There is a victory that's going to be greater than anything that happened in World War II. There is going to be a victory that the Bible tells us, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men. What the Bible's saying, you ain't even got a clue. You can't even fathom how great God has got something prepared for you, for those that love him and are called to his purpose. You can't even imagine how great this victory is going to be. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and those clouds are rolled back like a scroll. You know, and I know that he probably sings it. When you get to that verse, it is well with my soul, and you get the end, and I blow the horns, God, let's do it. I'm ready to go. Because that's how awesome it's going to be. We all need to be players. We need to be players. We need to be active. Let me ask you this right here. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. All this stuff, that's what I say. This is a greater battle than anything that man has ever waged. This is a greater battle than any world war. It's a greater battle than anything we've got because this victory is going to overcome all of that stuff. We are going to be on top of the kingdom when this victory happens, and I'm going to be part of the team. And I don't care if it's something little, I don't care if it's something grandiose, if I do it for the glory of God and I do it with the right heart, I'm in the game and I'm doing it for the right reason, the greater good, the cause of Christ. That's what each of us needs to take out of here today. Thanks to God, who gives us this victory through Jesus Christ. We will be victorious. God wins. Jesus is going to say to Brian, good deed, good job. Glad you're here. You did what you could. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I want him to say the same thing about every one of you. Every one of us standing in that line saying, I can't wait for the trumpet to sound. I don't know what that noise is going to sound like. I don't know what, if there's going to just be this giant boat horn. I don't know what it's going to be like. But it's going to be the most glorious thing I've ever heard. But to some people, that's going to be the most fearful thing they've ever heard. June 6, 1944, we entered the fight. That was the day of the Normandy invasion, the day when Allied troops launched an offensive that forever changed the course of human history from that point forward. So my question to you is this. January 6th, are you ready to enter the fight? January 6th, are you ready to say, here I am, Lord, send me. To be in the body, to be a part of that functioning organization, that God-given organization that God has placed. I've often given this analogy when we say the body and the church and the kingdom and all this. I give this to their young people. Jesus Christ is physically not walking on this earth right now. He did that for some 33 years. He now sits on the right hand of God, just waiting on God to say it's go time. But he's not physically walking here anymore. But he established the church to carry on the work that Jesus was doing. That's us, the body. We, the body, are to be like Jesus Christ. And I never once in Scripture read that Jesus was passive. I never once saw that Jesus said, well, we'll let one of the apostles do it. I can't do it today. I'm kind of tired. Even at his weakest moments, when Jesus had just got done with the Sermon on the Mount and he walked out and he says, I got to go get some rest. And he turns around and the mob's following him. And they said, the apostle said, well, let's send him away so you can get some rest. He says, no. We're going to minister to them. If they're interested, we're going to minister to them. And he did. So today, we get a decision to make. Each of us. Maybe today's the day you want to enter the fight. Maybe today's the day that you want to be on the winning team. Maybe today's the day that you say, you know, I want to be in the body. For as many of you have been baptized into Jesus, have put him on. Can you imagine having your sins washed away, standing there as white as undriven snow in the presence of God? That's an amazing thought. In Matthew 10, 32 and 33, this one, I just love this because it says, he who confesses me before men will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he who denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Now you think about that conversation between Jesus and God sitting up there. That moment when Brian walked down front and said, I want to be on the winning team. And I'm going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looks at God and says, that's Brian. He's going to be on our team. And the God of the universe knows me by my name. And he loves me that he sent Jesus the Christ to die for me. And he says, if you're part of that body, you're going to win too. The most glorious words, I think, ever in the Bible are when they run to that tomb and it's empty. And the angel says, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He's risen. And there's going to be a time when they throw my body in a ground, but I know that that's not the end because I'm going to be on the winning team. And I remember all those years ago that I joined that team, and I love it. And that joy can be yours as well. Maybe you've made that decision. Maybe you're part of the body, but now you've realized that I'm not engaged in the fight. I'm not doing what I need to do. I need some encouragement to get back in there. I need some encouragement to step up my game. I need my encouragement to go out and help. And golly, Bill, if somebody would just pray for me, that's the perfect opportunity right now. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you have any needs, if today's the day that you want to enter the fight, come on down. If today's the day that you say, you know what, I haven't been in the fight, I should be in the fight, and I want some encouragement to be in the fight, we're going to pray for you. There may be some that even said, you know what, I'm done with the fight. I ain't been in the fight, don't care about the fight. But today you do care about the fight. And there's been a change of your heart. The sins that you may have committed are now saying it's not worth missing the victory. Let's repent of those sins. Let's pray about it. But whatever your need may be, whatever it is, won't you come as we stand and sing?